Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast. Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers every once in a while.
Close. 5 days a week. We bring it to you 7 a.m. first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Kill some windshield time. Make us your first listen. And let's try and figure out how we're going to beat this Celtics team.
Absolutely. Kicking things off, we're going to be talking about that game, what we need to do well as what could go wrong. And then in segment two, it's What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, we put a poll out on Twitter that's at Locked On Clips. We want to know what you think about a given subject. This one is all about, with Bled now coming off the bench, who would you like to see moving forward as the two guard in the starting lineup? We gave you a couple of options. People left their own comments for their thoughts, so can't wait to dig into that. And then in shavings, in kind of big news, the Pacers are looking at a rebuild, so there could be some pieces available on the market, some names that have been linked to the Clippers before, so we'll talk about that. And also, we'll talk about the disparity in ticket prices between the Lakers and Clippers for the upcoming Celtics game, and also just where can this Clippers team find some signs of life, sort of some fire lit under them from a personnel perspective. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers. Your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so it is Clippers Celtics. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. It's the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't want or need. We're getting the Celtics on the second night of a back-to-back, which is good. And we got Nick Batum listed as questionable, so that's also nice. Do you want Nick Batum to play in this game?
Yes. Yes, I want Nick Batum to play in this game. You know, depending on where he's at, I don't know. He hasn't been posting a whole lot about his symptoms, which doesn't mean that they're not there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of hard to see how these things can affect people and their respiratory system on a long-term thing. But I, you know, for how this team is struggling right now, we've talked about, you know, the spacing issues. We'll talk about the offense sort of in this preview. Nick Batum is a guy that really bolsters a lot of those things.
For sure. So what do we need to do well in this one right off the bat?
Right off the bat, I would like to see us using pace effectively. You know, you mentioned that the Celtics team will be on the second night of a back-to-back. That's a great way to sort of like get those legs feeling a little heavier. And, you know, if the Clippers can avoid turnovers, as they have been successful doing in the last couple of games, it's a great way to mitigate some of Boston's defensive strengths, which, you know, this is a fairly solid defensive team. And, you know, looking at our pace right now per game, we're playing about three extra possessions per game. As them. So, you know, like if we can kind of, you know, if we can get a couple of extra offensive possessions or just, you know, like really make them struggle against our offense with pace, you know, it'll mitigate some of the issues that we've had offensively in terms of the ball movement and overall kind of stagnation, as well as make things that much more difficult. And in a close game, you know, like these things, they matter. You know, they matter a lot, even if you're not able to sustain that pace for a full four quarters. You know, second night of a back-to-back, like one strong showing, you know, you could deliver a punch to a team that, you know, that could extend this win streak to two, which is something we have not seen in a while.
Yeah, that would be nice. Kind of going along with that, we need to get paint touches when we're not in transition. This is a really good defensive team, but paint touches help the Clippers' current offensive situation, which is a mucky one. Really hoping Reggie can set the tone early with this in the game, since he's kind of got some of the more north-south abilities on that starting lineup along with PG. So I'm hoping we see our guards a little aggressive getting to the paint too. And what can we look out for in the paint if we can get these paint touches?
We can look at getting some free throw attempts. I mean, that's something to take advantage of in this one. Despite being a top 10 team in defensive rating, this Celtics team is not super disciplined in avoiding fouls. Their bottom five in opponent free throw attempt rate, they're currently sending their opponents to the line on nearly 25% of possessions. So you got a 1 in 4, you got a 1 in 4 chance of getting a couple of free looks at the basket. This is one of those things that, like, I thought we exploited really, really well, especially in that first half against the Lakers. I'd like to see that continue. And I mentioned it before, but like when the offense is struggling, you know, both using pace, getting to the paint, and, you know, getting to the line is something that can kind of sustain us through some of the doldrums, even if the shooting isn't there. And even if the turnovers are piling up, like if we stay aggressive, this is definitely a key of something that can keep us in a game, even against what has been so far a really pretty solid defense for Boston.
Absolutely. And on our defensive end, I really hope we can force Tatum to take threes and just make it uncomfortable him the closer he gets to the basket. I'm assuming we'll see PG to kind of start and then mix the looks up, but he's putting up his worst three-point percentage of his career. He's shooting 32% on 8 a game. So we might see some guys hanging off him off the perimeter, but yeah, let's try and get him taking over his average for threes.
Definitely. And looking ahead to what could go wrong, one thing I'm going to be looking for is like if we can't hold our own on the boards. Look, the Celtics, you know, part of their defense is they're a really pretty solid rebounding team. It's kind of surprising to me just because their front court is essentially two power forwards. They've got Al Horford and then Robert Williams III, who's only like 6'9", and I think that's with shoes on. But this Celtics team is top 5 in total rebounds, top 10 defensive rebounds, and just outside the top 10 in offensive rebounds. So kind of exploiting this
big to start, maybe?
I don't know that we go double bigs, but I just really like to see Zoo be aggressive in this one. I think that if things were purely matchup based, it would maybe make a little bit of sense to do that with the double bigs. But from what Ty Lue, you know, what his comments after last game about kind of Serge's spot in the rotation, I don't know that we're going to see Serge returning to that starting lineup anytime soon. But it's just another one of those things. Like the Celtics are also not a hyper efficient team. They're actually outside the bottom 5 in effective field goal percentage. So if you can avoid giving them some second looks at the basket, it's just one of those things that could really smother a team out offensively on their second night of a back-to-back.
For sure. Stagnant ball movement is something that might not be good for the Clippers in this one. Celtics opponents only average 21 assists per game, and our team was below that the other night against a much worse defense that had just given up 145 to this very Celtics team. A lot of this is going to be kind of on Paul George's shoulders. The Celtics do force an average amount of turnovers, so hopefully he's not too sloppy with it. Little worried, you know, if the ball movement isn't there, we got to hope some combination of Reggie and Mook kind of ISOs go in and that Paul George is able to hit his created shot. If we're not able to do that, I'm a little worried. I mean, just kind of where the offense was going to come from against this Celtics team.
Another thing that I'm kind of wondering and what could go wrong is, does a backcourt of, you know, Kennard and Reggie, assuming that they are the starting 1 and 2 in this one,
sure,
does that allow like Marcus Smart and Dennis Schroeder to kind of go off? You know, looking at Smart, he's, you know, capable defensively. He's also a very solid 3-point shooter. He's a guy we definitely can't lose on the perimeter. And he will probably play physical with whatever one of these two guards ends up guarding him.
Yeah.
And then Schroeder is, you know, a decent scorer. He's averaging 18, 4, and 5. He definitely has his ups and downs. I think they call it the Schroeder roller coaster I've seen on a couple of Celtics blocks. It's similar to Reggie. But Schroeder is also a guy who could easily erupt, you know, for the mid-20s, just, you know, sub-30 there if he's not tended to defensively. So, you know, in the last episode, I was really complimentary of this kind of change to the starting lineup because I do think it's so positive for the spacing. But, yeah, defensively, you know, you already got Tatum to deal with. If one of these two guys are going off for, you know, 25 plus, it's just going to make it that much more difficult.
Yeah. Let's hope the Clips can get it done. Let's get this win streak to 2, you know, back at home. Might as well do it before a 12:30 game that we have on Saturday. Coming up, we are going to be talking, you know, who people want to see as that 2 guard now that Bled is coming off the bench. But first, we got to give a shout out to Calm. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. LeBron prefers the workout Falling Leaves, which is always nice at Calm. If you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. For a limited time, you can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. Now that you're helping your mind, how can you help your body?
You got to check out Built Bar. Look, you know, we talk about it on this podcast all the time. But what you might not know is that Built Bar actually has so many delicious flavors. There's truly something for everyone. It's really cool. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely super passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Ooh, yummy. And if you haven't tried all of these delicious flavors yet, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Look, I keep going on and on about the taste and the flavors, but not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy. Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. All amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Also, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Cool. Pretty neat. Means you can trust it. If it's good enough for Olympians, it's probably good enough for you and me. And right now, we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to built.com and use promo code Locked On, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code Locked On for 15% off at built.com.
All right. Welcome to What You Say Wednesday, where we put out a poll over on Locked On Clips every Tuesday. So we can get it on this episode for you. This is new shooting guard edition. We were wondering if Bled off the bench holds true when Nick Batum comes back, who do you want as the second guard in the starting lineup? The choices were Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, Brandon Boston Jr., and then other. And a lot of people specified some other ones. Before we get to the results, Will, where would you vote in this? Again, big thank you to everyone who voted.
Other, Paul George.
That was Trent Maddox said that. He goes, it's Paul George. Batum goes into the starting five, alongside Zoo, Mook, PG, and Reggie, Bled, Man, Luke, then a wing, and then, you know, or Surge, stagger is needed. Do you agree with kind of that starting lineup?
Yeah. No, I definitely like that. I just think that there's value in, like, this has always been kind of a forward heavy team. Sure. And, you know, obviously, you know, Kawhi Leonard, massive loss, somebody who can create, someone who can get their own shot, someone who can defend at a high level. And since we don't have one Kawhi Leonard, I think, you know, having two forwards who can do a little bit of that in the starting lineup is definitely beneficial. And also just, I just think that that is probably the best way to take some of, you know, the ball handling burden off of Paul George. Like, you know, we tried the Bledsoe thing, which I hasn't worked to date, like as well as I maybe thought it would have on paper.
Yeah. A lot of missing guys who help space the floor, which is tough for that scenario.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But assuming, you know, in the scenario that Bledsoe does stay on the bench, instead of him, you know, coming back in with the lineup and maybe starting small, I don't know. I think that having both Batum and Morris out there is super, super valuable. It just, like I said, it just leans into the play style of kind of what this team is used to a little bit more.
The defense is incredible too.
Yeah, you got great defense. You got a couple of guys who can kind of facilitate, who can space the floor, who can, you know, get their own shot. Marcus Morris maybe a little bit better than Batum, but Batum does a lot of really interesting off-ball things that Kennard can also do, but he's just not the defender that Batum is. Mm-hmm. I think that there's value to maybe moving Paul George back to the two, especially just because of how much he is a primary ball handler. Why not just have another extra wing out there?
Yeah, and he's way bigger than other two guards in the NBA as well. He's going to be playing the two.
Factual.
Which is great. Other actually got the least amount of votes, only 2.6%. Luke Kennard ran away with this one, 72% of the vote. Brandon Boston Jr. got more votes than Terrence Mann, but I think that's just a recency bias thing. He had 13%. Terrence Mann had 12.5 or so. SoCal Clippers said that Reggie, Luke, PG, Mook, and Zoo has great spacing and enough defense Bledsoe with Boston, Mann, Batum, and Hart or Surge is a solid bench that could have some starters staggered in also. So I like this idea. I like Luke. I think I'm in the Luke Kennard category just because the spacing's nice, and then we would see some nice staggering from Ty Lue. But that bench unit, you know, I'm not sure what Brandon Boston Jr.'s minutes are going to look like once everyone is fully healthy. We kind of talked about on the last episode, like, he's probably not going to be the first guy off the bench again like he was versus Portland. But I like Bledsoe with that bench unit. I think that needs to stay too. Someone kind of voted for Terrence Mann. They voted for Terrence Mann, and they said that Mann seems to be at his best when he's the fourth or fifth option on the floor, and that he'd be a good fit in the starting lineup. And I think I really like that take when we maybe have to start Terrence, not as a permanent start Terrence thing, but I like that idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm sold on Terrence in the starting lineup. I do think, though, that there's value in this line of thinking. And I think that, you know, if we were to go to a starting lineup where Batum and Morris were both sharing the floor, there would be an effort to stagger, you know, pretty seriously to keep one of the two on the floor at all times, similar to what we also were doing with guards kind of earlier in the season. I think that, like, even having somebody like a Nick Batum would help Terrence look a lot better on the floor. I've been impressed, you know, yeah, with, like, sort of, you know, we've talked about on here, like, and other people have commented on Twitter and everywhere else, like, sort of the chaos that Terrence can create, and especially on the defensive end. I just think having somebody else out there who is a dependable offensive player, like, with sort of a defined skill set, just makes things a little bit easier for Terrence. I do think that, you know, some of the problems that he's facing this year, you know, especially with the indecisiveness, is that maybe, like, just a little bit too much too soon has been put on his plate, okay, in terms of, like, what he thinks he's supposed to have to do out there, or, yeah, or even, like, what he's been told from the coaching staff. So I'm not a proponent of Mann in the starting lineup, but I do think that, you know, even just the return of Batum, or, you know, Morris getting some extended run with that second unit, if you want to keep him on the floor in non-Paul George minutes, could be really, really beneficial for Terrence.
Yeah, that's a super good call. I'm hoping he can – I think he'll get it turned around once everyone gets healthy. I like this idea that he's kind of the – because I do agree. I think he's the best when he's a fourth or fifth option, and people kind of not forget about him on the court, but they have so many other offensive weapons to worry about that Terrence can kind of do his – chaotic offensive stuff that we like and not settle for those bad fadeaways.
Yeah, well, and if you have, like, Bledsoe and Kennard and Terrence and then one of either Batum or Mook on the floor, and then maybe even a Surge or somebody, like, yeah, I think that is a, you know, a lineup that can aid at what Terrence is good at a lot more. Like, I still think that he's probably his biggest threat off ball. And, you know, that gives him the opportunity to kind of be off ball and fly a little bit more under the radar of defenses.
Yeah, for sure. OTHLAC brought up a good point just about how Kennard has a play style that lets him split time with the second and first units. And I think that's such a great thing for the Clippers to have. Like, any of these guys, like, if we start Kennard, I'm like, this is great. But if we don't, we're still able to maximize what he brings to the table, which Ty Lue seems to have gotten a little bit better at as the season goes on. So I think it's also a nice testament to Kennard at just how interchangeable he is. And I talked about this on AM570 the other day, where he's fully playing up to his contract, right? Like, I don't think those concerns should really be a thing anymore, because that was kind of an issue coming into the season, just because it was the first year that it kicked in.
Look, man, I mean, we've talked about this with other sort of NBA, you know, like stars, not just guys at, like, that kind of sub 20 range. Yeah. But, like, if you're a player who's working on improving, like, your biggest weaknesses every season, I'm sorry, like, you're worth your contract, because we signed you to do one thing. Like, right? Like, we signed you to maybe facilitate, yeah, a little bit and to knock down open threes. And, like, if on top of that you can be a net neutral defender, you've exceeded your contract value in my eyes.
That's a good call. That's a nice take. Head of the Kennard Army over here, Will Updike. Let us know. Again, we thank you to everyone who voted. Let us know who you think should be in the starting lineup. Is it fair to say that the starting lineups are kind of a mystery now? Like Tyloo's kept the last couple secret. Like we're just
they're 100% a mystery, especially if like once Batum goes from questionable to fully available, you know, we gain a lot of versatility, and that has been a big thing, you know, sort of holding this Clippers team back. I know that like there have been issues with not being able to run the whole playbook just because like some of the unfamiliarity of players, but right. like having that versatility definitely opens up a lot more of that. And you know, we talked so much on this show about how forced Ty Lue's hand has been due to availability. And, you know, this is, you know, there's no way that this isn't a massive step in the right direction as our schedule is about to get even harder.
Yeah, 100%. Coming up, we're going to be talking the Indiana Pacers, maybe doing a fire sale. Joseph Ryan Ward with a good take. And then people keep talking about the Clippers ticket prices, and it just doesn't seem in good faith. But first, we got to give a shout out to Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, totally over. Basketball season, full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams try and figure out what the hell's going on in the Western Conference. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's all cap letters, one word, LOCKEDON, at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else around the NBA. So, Charles, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with, like, the biggest news kind of outside the Clippers sphere, or do you want to start on the Clippers stuff?
Let's start with the Pacers stuff, because Shams tweeted out that they're moving towards a rebuild, receptive to trade talks around Caris LeVert, and then either Domantas Sabonis or Miles Turner. Miles Turner's kind of been a fringe, like, meme, we should bring this guy for the Clippers for the last couple seasons, I feel like. I don't know if we have anything to offer a team that's going for a rebuild, like, pick-wise, but do we think the Clippers, A, do you want any of these guys, and do we think we call the Pacers? Like, I would love Sabonis on this team, but I don't know what we would trade to get Sabonis on this team.
I mean, Sabonis and Turner are both super interesting. Both guys that I feel like for the skill set they provide are on pretty reasonable contracts. Although either of them would have kind of a diminished role with this team sort of as currently constructed. But either one of them does add some versatility. So I do think that's interesting. I don't really have any interest personally in Caris LeVert. I don't really see where he fits in to this team. And to get both of those players, I feel like, you know, if it's a package kind of deal, you're giving up a sort of a boatload of assets, or at least young quality players plus picks plus swaps, which we can't really offer anything in the way of that. But, you know, they're interesting. Another thing is, like, I was not really expecting this news. I mean, things have not been going well for the Pacers for sure. And the TJ McConnell injury definitely complicates things. But, like, dude, can you imagine Rick Carlisle as the head coach of a rebuilding team? Like, I'm just not
fun.
I just don't know that I'm super seeing that. So I don't know. We'll see how things turn out. Like, Miles Turner is someone who a lot of people have been interested in for the Clippers defensively.
Having a career year shooting from outside this year, which
he can space the floor. he can space the floor defensively. He's really solid. You know, I think one of the issues that's it's affected Turner's numbers more so than Sabonis is that, like, they play Turner outside of the paint a little more than probably they should, just because they can. And that's, you know, like, Sabonis, you know, is where he's going to be the most effective. So that is one of those things that's kind of held back Turner's numbers, where we could definitely afford to let him play, you know, in more of a center's kind of actual zone on the floor. So I do think that could be valuable. But, man, in terms of, like, just sheer, like, love of one of these two prospects, like, Sabonis is one of my favorite players in the league.
It'd be a great get, but I bet Lawrence will call, but I don't think we'll be able to get him. Joseph Ryan Ward had a great tweet. He said, "I'm tired of watching the Clippers look lifeless." He's the host of the Clipset Pod with Brian Cullen. Go listen to them. Said, "I'm tired of watching the Clippers look lifeless. Pat not being here means someone else has to step up. Somebody has to light a fire under everybody else." Who do we think that is? Is it crazy to think it could be Brandon Boston Jr.?
I mean, he's not like the Patrick Beverley sort of mold of a leader. He's much closer to like a Lou Williams guy.
Yeah.
But he is a little bit more outspoken. I just love his positivity, and I love like the belief that everybody has in him. I think that he might be too young. I think
he's
that
a
it's
positivity
be somebody,
guy. He's not like a check you guy or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and kind of rightfully so, because he's 19. So who's he going to check on this Clippers team?
I do think that Paul George's leadership has come a step or two in this season. I think that it sometimes on the floor and in timeouts becomes a thing where like he's maybe getting a little overwhelmed with everything else that he has to do.
For sure.
That I do think that there's value to another guy kind of being able to help provide that. And also, like, you know, I'm sure you hear from Paul George in every single huddle and every, like, you know, in every single practice. So someone else being able to also kind of take on some of that would be great. And I think to me, like the two, I love the idea of Boston, but the two main sort of suspects or candidates for me have to be Nick, it has to be Nick Batum and or Marcus Morris, because both of those guys have, you know, have enough experience in the NBA to where they talk and everyone is going to listen. You know, we know Marcus Morris to be a solid teammate, and, you know, when he feels empowered to do so, very vocal in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And Nick Batum is just a guy that it seems like everyone on the roster looks up to. He's kind of the glue guy, both on court and off court. So I think it's got to be one or a combination of those two guys who kind of get everybody going from a morale standpoint.
Yeah, the Morris, because we talked about kind of preseason how we thought Morris would kind of come onto the radar as like a good leader kind of guy in the locker room, and he has from everything.
The availability just hasn't been there, overall.
Yeah, Hartenstein is a great energy guy too, kind of just on the bench. I loved how he responded after the Nurk elbow. He didn't freak out, which would have been hard to do considering he got elbowed straight in the jaw. And he, you know, he answered with that dunk and executed that perfect ATO that Ty Lue cooked up. So I like the energy of the new guys as a whole. They're just bringing nothing but positivity, and you know, are able to take criticism well and kind of do what they're supposed to do. So I think Mook is right. I think you're really right about that one. Moving on to something that just kind of randomly pops up every now and then. Arash Markazi tweeted out, the Boston Celtics are in Los Angeles tonight and tomorrow to play the Lakers and Clippers in two of the last games with Staples Center on the court. Here are the get-in prices for both games on TickPick. Never heard of TickPick. Rough name.
Terrible name. Yeah, terrible name.
What rhymes with that? Lakers versus Celtics, cheapest ticket, $86. Clippers versus Celtics, cheapest ticket, $6. These tweets are never done in good faith, and they annoy me. It's just very clear.
What do you mean they're
like?
What do you mean they're never done in good faith?
This
mean,
is made
just because obviously the Lakers are more expensive.
Yeah, this is made for people to shit on the Clippers. This isn't.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This isn't. Everyone knows Lakers tickets are expensive. I don't know.
They were more expensive, like in the height of the Lob City days when the Lakers were like. I mean, sure, it was like Kobe's like farewell extended tour, but it, you know, like the on-court product maybe wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, the comparison of getting in and like being like, wow, I can't believe it's so cheap. That's just a good thing. Cheaper, fun things are always a good thing for whatever city
they're
in.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you. Look at like Atlanta when what they did where they have like legacy pricing on some nights. Like you're telling me fans like aren't dying to get in the stadium for that. And like, look, I mean, yes, these are two different fan bases, two very different histories, two, you know, very different resumes in terms of accomplishments. But like, this is a, you know, like, this is an organization that is trying to make an effort to get everybody involved. And that means, you know, like ideally that means lower ticket prices. Ideally that means, you know, like making things so like a family of four or five, you know, can go to a game, you know, every once in a while. And I know that these things are like, yeah, like you're saying, like they're kind of used to disparage the Clippers, but I'm right there with you. Like, I mean, to me, like, as a fan, this is like a beautiful thing. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you go to a game for $6, probably get something free on your way in. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I realize that like a Clippers ticket will probably never be the status symbol of a Lakers ticket, but like, That's not something that matters to me.
Exactly. And I don't think Irish was doing this. Like, he's not saying it in bad faith. It just gets aggregated and the way it's presented. But anyway, hey, if you want to go to the game against the Celtics, $6. Not going to beat it. We're actually going to the game.
Yeah, if you're listening to the show and you don't have a ticket yet, I mean, check what do out you got to lose? Pick.
Don't misspell it. Do not misspell it in the App Store. I think that about wraps it up. That's about it. Thursday's episode, we're having a recap of this hopeful win versus the Celtics. Thirsty Thursday, where we want to talk about what we want to see more of. Spoiler alert, might talk about Nick Batum. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, if someone asked you where they could listen to this podcast, where would you tell them to listen?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. You can always tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works. We're on Big Screen Pods, which is great. It's a feast for your eyes and your ears. If you haven't already, please give us a rating or review over on iTunes or the podcast app, regardless of where you listen. It really helps the show out. We mentioned it up top, but we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.